Hello, and welcome to Notes in the Week Ahead, a JP Morgan Asset Management podcast that provides insights on the markets and the economy to help you stay informed in the week ahead.
Hello, this is David Kelly. I'm Chief Strategist here at JP Morgan Asset Management. Today's April 22nd, 2024. Since the advent of modern financial markets, bonds have always had the reputation of being conservative, rather like an elderly family lawyer in a leather-bound chair, frowning at more jumpy and excitable stocks. Bonds would never make you rich. However, they would provide you with a moderate, steady, and dependable income. This reputation was challenged in the 1970s and 1980s by treasuries yielding more than 10% in the wake of high inflation, and the explosive growth in the high-yield market. In the decades that followed, yields drifted down in parallel with inflation, but investor excitement was maintained by a steady stream of capital gains as well as income. However, once monetary easing hit its peak in the days following the Great Financial Crisis, high-quality bond yields fell to levels that promised very little income and at best modest capital losses, assuming yields eventually recovered. In the aftermath of the pandemic, massive government borrowing, inflation, and Fed tightening have all contributed to rising bond yields. However, over the past year, despite a winding down of pandemic effects, very steady economic growth, declining inflation, and a pause in Fed tightening, bond volatility has persisted, with yields seeing sharp swings in both directions. Indeed, since the Fed last raised rates on July 26th of last year, the 10-year Treasury yield has ranged from a low of 3.79% to a high of 4.98%. Statistically, this represents well above average volatility, and it raises some important questions for portfolio construction. So it's worth investigating why bond volatility has risen, where it might go from here, and how investors should adapt to a world of more volatile bonds. Before addressing these questions, let's take a look at some key economic data and events for the week ahead. The most important economic numbers will be contained in Thursday's GDP report, which we expect to show annualized real growth of 2.2% in the first quarter. Looking under the hood, growth should be boosted by 3% plus gains in consumer government spending and a surge in home building. Business fixed investment, inventories, and trade are all likely to detract from growth. However, the broad story appears to be one very modest deceleration from the 3.1% GDP growth seen over the course of last year, with gains still running a little above the Federal Reserve's 1.8% longer-run estimate of the potential growth of the U.S. economy. Other data due out this week, including flash market PMIs, new home sales, monthly data on consumer income and spending, industry reports on light vehicle sales, durable goods orders, and advanced estimates on inventories in international trade, will help shape early estimates of second quarter growth. Overall, we expect these numbers to point to continued moderate economic expansion. Turning to the earnings season, with 14% of S&P 500 market cap reporting so far, the profit picture appears mixed, showing 70% of firms beating analyst expectations in EPS, but only 46% beating on revenues. However, first quarter of corporate performance should be much clearer by the end of this week, since 158 of the S&P 500 companies are set to report over the next 5 days. Investors will also be very interested in the translation of earlier CPI data for March into the Fed's preferred consumption deflator measures due out on Friday. We believe that both the headline and core consumption deflator measures rose by 0.3% month-to-month in March, with year-over-year gains rising by 0.1% to 2.6% at the headline level and falling by 0.1% to 2.7% at the core level. We believe that core inflation pressures are still easing, but at a glacially slow pace. Just as financial commentators routinely say that we live in uncertain times, they often claim that market volatility is unusually high. However, when it comes to the U.S. bond market today, this is actually true. Looking at the Bloomberg Aggregate Bond Index, from January 2002 to June 2022, the average monthly return was 0.3%, with a standard deviation measured over a 24-month lag of 0.9%. That is to say, roughly two-thirds of the time, the monthly return was within a range of minus 0.6% to plus 1.2%. However, from July 2022 to March 2024, the standard deviation of monthly returns has been 2.0%. In examining the causes of this volatility, it's easiest to start with what isn't causing it. First, it's not due to increased volatility in economic growth. Over the past 2 years, the macroeconomic outlook has, if anything, become steadier. The unemployment rate has now been in a narrow band between 3.4% and 4.0% for 28 straight months, while real GDP growth appears to have settled into a steady, if somewhat strong, path. Nor is it due to increased volatility in financial markets in general. This can be seen by the fact that equity market volatility has not risen nearly as much. Between January 2002 and June 2022, the standard deviation of bond market returns measured over a 24-month lag was just 27% of that of the equity market, as measured by the S&P 500 Total Return Index. From July 2022 to March 2024, that ratio has been 37%. Finally, it's not due to greater volatility in inflation expectations. The yield gap between 10-year nominal Treasury bonds and 10-year TIPS gives us a real-time measure of the market's expectation of inflation over the next decade. Measured on a monthly frequency, this expectation is stayed in a narrow band between 2.18% and 2.41% since September 2022. In fact, the standard deviation of inflation expectations measured in this manner has been almost 20% lower since July 2022 than in the prior 17 and a half years. So what is causing higher volatility? Well, three explanations come to mind. First, this may be due in part to the huge volume of government debt that needs to be financed today. 20 years ago, Treasury debt in the hands of the public was $4.2 trillion, or 36% of GDP. 10 years ago, it was $12.6 trillion, or 74% of GDP. By the end of last month, it was $27.5 trillion, or 99% of GDP. It's quite possible that this extraordinary level of debt is straining global capital markets in a way that just wasn't the case 10 or 20 years ago, leading to more volatility. This effect may be being amplified by quantitative tightening, which is having the effect of transferring Treasury ownership from price-insensitive buyers such as the Federal Reserve to much more price-sensitive private sector actors. Moreover, this effect could be further increased by the general decline in dealer balance sheets in response to regulation, even as the overall size of the global bond market has increased. Second, higher short-term rates may be contributing to higher bond volatility. With a normal upward-sloping yield curve, it's easy to assign investors to one of two well-defined camps. Those willing to accept some risk in return for better yields and potential capital gains would invest in long-term bonds, while those willing to sacrifice return for safety would stay at the short end of the curve. However, with overnight rates well above 5% and long rates significantly lower, many long-term investors may be tempted to tactically switch in and out of the short end of the market, adding volatility to bonds. Finally, today's volatile bond market may reflect the hypersensitivity of the Fed. Prior to the most recent inflation surge, Fed officials appeared to be relatively unfazed by small overshoots and undershoots on inflation. However, today we appear to be in an era of zero inflation tolerance on the part of the Fed. Consequently, a very slight overshoot in the March CPI numbers induced an immediate and violent reaction to the bond market, as futures markets almost overnight went from pricing in three full rate cuts in 2024 to barely pricing in two. Even if the inflation environment is relatively steady, any sharp change in expected Fed policy could add to bond market volatility. Under any of these explanations, bond market volatility could be here for some time to come. There's no evidence that Washington is going to rein in fiscal deficits or the regulators will act aggressively to deepen liquidity in Treasury markets. While we still expect the Federal Reserve to cut rates later this year, yield curve inversion could persist for a further year or more. Nor is there any sign that an inflation-scarred Federal Reserve is going to moderate their reaction to inflation news going forward. If this is the case and bond market volatility is here to stay, at least for a while, investors may want to consider if their bond allocations are appropriate for the overall balance of their portfolios. They might want to consider shortening duration as a way to mitigate risk or generate alternative sources of income that may not be highly correlated to U.S. bonds, such as dividends on international stocks and interest payments on international bonds. And they may want to add alternatives as a way of providing stability and income to their portfolios. Most importantly, however, they should make sure that they understand not just the general characteristics of the bonds, but also how those characteristics have evolved in what appears to be a new era of fixed income volatility.
Well, that's it for this week. Please tune in again next week, and if you have any questions in the meantime, please reach out to your JP Morgan representative.
This content is intended for information only based on assumptions and current market conditions and are subject to change. No warranty of accuracy is given. This content does not contain sufficient information to support investment decisions. It is not to be construed as research, legal, regulatory, tax, accounting, or investment advice. Investments involve risks. Investors should seek professional advice or make an independent evaluation before investing. The value of investments and the income from them may fluctuate, including loss of capital. Past performance and yield are not indicative of current or future results. Forecasts and estimates may or may not come to pass. J.P. Morgan Asset Management is the asset management business of J.P. Morgan Chase & Company and its affiliates worldwide.